Back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, the host. True Wealth is, has always been, and will be, and will be on and on, right? Sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. We buy and sell all forms of precious metals, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, what else? Collections, estates. Sorry, sometimes your brain just ain't doing it right. I guess mine might be there a little bit today. So Coins Plus has been in business about 20 years. We've had some interesting times for sure. I started the business just on a whim, I guess. I was a banker with a regional manager for Bank of America and housing services. So I was deeply, I'd managed different aspects of banking and consumer finance and mortgage lending and auto finance and manufactured housing and all kinds of stuff. And I was good at it. I enjoyed it. And then God dropped, kind of resurrected the coin thing in my life. And through one series of events after another, he kind of dropped me into the coin business, which led to the precious metals business. I read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which I keep forgetting to bring on the set here. I'd really like to kind of go over it day after day. I forget. I'd really like to go over it. It is a terrific book. I studied an extensive level of, you know, mathematics, statistics, actuarial science, economics, physics of astronomy, whatever. It's a lot of sciences, a lot of economic stuff. Money and numbers is my game. That's where God gifted me, I suppose. And I learned all the common, you know, supply and demand curves and economics and all that stuff. And then I read... And then I was in banking, and I was, you know, everybody's expert. And then I read The Creature from Jekyll Island. Crash. The truth about money and the money system in America and the history of it. And I learned all about fiat currency and the Federal Reserve Bank. And that is when I was kind of done for, I would say. I was like, wait a minute, can this be true? Is this true? Is it a sham? Are we being had? Is there an elite group of banksters out there that has absolutely hijacked the bank system that little do we know there are trillionaires in the world, folks? The reason you don't know about them is because they don't have to report all the income they made off of your money. I want you to think about something for a minute. Our Constitution and Coinage Act of 1792 was formed for the creation and preservation of the United States of America. I think we'd all agree on that. In that Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, it says that all coinage must be, you know, a certain denomination and weight and content of gold or silver, period. It says that Congress will be in charge of controlling it, that they shall not ever give up control. There's what we call the enumerated powers. Enumerated powers is the power given to the government through the Constitution. There is a limited number of enumerated powers. What is interesting is the enumerated powers gives our government the authority to give away authority or to transfer authority on every single one of those enumerated powers except one, the right to coin money. The right to coin money or the obligation to coin money was to never been given away, ever. It was to be preserved and protected by the United States Congress forever, to be overseen, to maintain gold and silver. There is such a lie out there, folks. I hate the lies of how they tell us these myths against gold and silver, and, you know, that they, oh, we could never possibly have maintained a gold standard. They use logic like, well, there's just not enough gold and it's just too much of a limited resource. And there has to be an unlimited quantity of money available. Now, folks, that's dumb. If you have real estate, okay, is there an unlimited quantity of real estate? Nope. And what happens to your real estate over time? Oh, it goes up in value as population grows and wealth increases. Guess what happens? Your real estate goes up over time. Guess what happens in God's economic system? If we use the items, if we preserve and protect ourselves and maintain the items that God created, it goes up over time. That's the concept. With God's system that he created, that does not include usury, okay? We don't get caught up in high finance interest rates and tons of points on loans and all that, because God knows, and the Bible's very clear, that destroys economies. And we use a form of money which is fungible, which means equal in every way, everywhere you go, which is a limited supply resource, which is what precious metals are. And the Bible said they're money, okay? That's the way God said it. He said, this is it, money, boom. Genesis 2, Tav, the best of the best of the best is how he labeled it, okay? And then on through the Bible, there are so many accounts of God favoring it higher than anything on earth. Think about it. When God creates, or when God compares, you know, the ultimate purity, the ultimate righteousness, the ultimate refinement, the ultimate chastisement, the ultimate discipline, he compares it to gold, right? He talks about silver in high esteem. He talks about precious stones in that way. He utilizes it as money. He blesses us with it, his people, throughout the Bible. That's how he blesses them financially. That's how he provides. That's the money he created. It's a limited resource. God's system, had man not broken away and not engaged in heavy usury. Now think about it. Our fiat currency system, our Federal Reserve system, is based on two things: unlimited money supply and debt. Okay? The two things God says you do not do in an economy, because it destroys an economy. It creates poverty. This is the problem in America. We had resources and we had wealth in this country. And the way it is if the value of the item continually increases, you can always divide it and you can always transfer it into different assets. There's always sub-assets that you can break things down into. And yeah, there's even paper money, as long as it's backed by metal. I mean, let's be frank. If the banks actually held the metal and issued paper currency, who cares how expensive it gets? If 1 ounce of gold got to $1 million, you can still have a $1 note backed by gold. You can have, if silver got to $10,000 an ounce, you can still have a $1 bill backed by silver. You can also have a coin with $1 worth of silver alloyed into it. You can do what our founding fathers did, where they would take a copper coin and they would put a little silver plug in the middle. And that's not uncommon. There's tons of things, folks. It's a lie. The reason it's a lie is, how do you think they get so stinking rich? It's a scam. It is truly, I believe, the greatest deception in the history of the world, because I believe, in addition to it being the greatest deception in the history of the world, it is the catalyst for all great deceptions in the history of the world. He who controls the money controls the people. The money is being controlled by banks. When I read history I cringe when I read that banks, the central banks, would literally be financing both sides of a war, providing arms to both sides of a war. Now, my opinion is, if there's a nation that is very strong and authoritative, that they would go to the bank and say, look, we made a new law. And that law says you need to pick a side. You don't get to play both sides, because ultimately what you are doing is destroying our nation and the world. And folks, this is the same thing the media does. It's the same thing a gossip does. A gossip runs over here, hey, they said this about you, what do you say? And then they run over there, hey, they said this about you. That's also another behavior you see in 24/7 media. The problem with what's going on in the world right now, the pettiness, the inflamed, agitated spirit, it is 24/7 news, keep the ratings high. With social media, people are caught up in this thought process and this lifestyle 24/7. There are people that cannot wait to turn on their phones in the morning, not to check messages, I have to do that, but to read the latest muck, garbage, trash that's being slung back and forth by the parties. It's filth, folks. It's lies. I'm baffled. I'm biased. I don't understand being pro-abortion. I don't get it. I don't understand not wanting to help people who are falling into homosexuality. I understand these people say, hey, this is my preference of a flavor and all that stuff, but I'm a believer. I read the Bible. I believe there's a system that's right. I think everybody struggles with something, and if that's your struggle, then you just have to cope with it. I'm sorry, that's your burden to bear. I love where these guys will dig through the New Testament and say, oh, you know, Paul's thorn was homosexuality or whatever. People, you know, on one hand, it's interesting. We read about Paul, and he talks about the thorn in his side. He talks about this curse or whatever it was that was upon him that just, you know, caused him pain. And then what happens is we look at it and we all go, I got something like that. And then we try to say, maybe Paul had what I have, okay? So when homosexuals say, hey, maybe Paul was a homosexual, you know, I don't know. We don't know. I'm not gonna blaspheme the man. I don't know what his gig was, but I do know that we've all got something, right? And we've all got to struggle through it. But Paul's heart was right. He's like, my God, take this away from me. I can't stand it. We don't know what it was. When I was younger, I used to think it was a physical ailment, some kind of an injury or some kind of a rheumatoid arthritis or who knows what. But I don't think so anymore. I think it was a sin. It was something he couldn't break free from. Maybe they're right. Maybe he was a homosexual. I don't know. Trust me. Don't take me wrong. I'm just saying, anything's possible. The other thing about it is, you know, that issue of homosexuality has passed down through the Catholic Church. I know the Catholics claim to be the descendants of Paul and Peter, and they're not. Hypothetically, the Catholic Church wasn't formed till 300 AD by Constantine, long, long, long after Peter was dead. And so it's whatever. I won't get into that. But their lineage is not what they claim it to be. But for some reason, you know, they chose to read Paul's writings and say, I wish that you would not, you know, marry. It's a distraction, which again, maybe it does show where Paul's weaknesses were. Like I said, I have no clue. But the bottom line is he was coping with it, dealing with it, begging God to remove it from him, admitting whatever it was that it was a problem. It's when we embrace our sin and celebrate it that we're out of control. Homosexuality is a mental deviation. It's a psychological disorder. It's not normal, folks. It's so, people use the stupid argument. I heard this guy the other day talking to Ben Shapiro saying, you know, if you read the New York Times and I read the New York Post, I mean, you know, we just read different newspapers. That's the same with sexuality. You like women and I like men. And it's like, No, it's not, because there aren't scriptures in the Bible that warn that you will be cast into burning hell for reading the New York Times or New York Post. Although you should be cast into hell for reading the New York Times, if you guys know anything about it, it's vile filth. For the last 100 years, and I'm sorry I get on these tangents, over the last 100 years, they've always been on the wrong side of communism. They basically have endorsed Hitler, Stalin, you know, and now they're standing behind Xi Jinping or whatever the guy's name is that runs China, where Trump just went and visited. That guy's got as much power as Mao Zedong did in the 50s or whatever, and we act like these are good times. Trump gave a beautiful speech over there, folks. He gave a beautiful speech, in my opinion, where he basically said, I was trying to see if I could pull it up, but of course my computer's smarter than me. Let me see. Asian, why is this doing this to me? Let's see. I'm sorry for this. This is fighting me. But anyway, he said I want to find a direct quote and see if my computer will help me here. Okay. I can't type and talk very well at the same time. So basically what he told them is, he said, history is filled, and this isn't a quote or from I'm not reading this. This is just my impression. He said, history is filled with countries with a litany of countries who've made the mistake to misjudge basically the power of America. And there's an ash heap of countries who've chosen to do that. And he's saying, don't make that mistake. We are fighters of liberty and justice. We oppose communism. We do not like tyranny, and we will fight against it. And he's basically saying, don't make the mistake that other nations in history have made of thinking that you can beat us in the name of evil. And that it was this, he said it, of course, much nicer than I did, but I thought it was well put. I thought it was very well put. And he's basically saying, look, we can be your best friend or your worst enemy. You choose. That's what America's about. And why is that relevant today? Because Friday is officially Veterans Day. Typically, Veterans Day falls on Monday for the holiday. For some reason this year, they're dropping it on Friday. I think that in this nation, we've lost sight, haven't we? I mean, I was just talking about the 24/7 media news cycle. What a slinger of trash. I feel like because of what I do with the radio show and everything, I've got to keep myself abreast of what's going on out there, and it is just mudslinging. I think, you know, you get like the Fox News, which is, you know, according to the left, is this right-wing radical, you know, filth pot. That's their theory. I disagree. I personally don't think sometimes they're conservative enough. There's people I'd like to see on. I do think they try a little too hard to have opposing views, which sometimes becomes annoying rather than just delivering information and letting me decide. I really, really hate spinners. And when you listen to the left spin, they'll talk in circles and play games, semantics. I really believe that in general, conservatism is about traditional truth. I believe that it comes from the Judeo-Christian roots of this nation. And I think that in general, when you abandon that and go to the left, you are embracing secular humanism, we'll say. You are rejecting God, and you become callous. You become a hard heart. You become what God says he will turn you over to, your reprobate heart. You turn your back on God. You begin to justify, like I said earlier, homosexuality, abortion, divorce, gay marriage, raising children in gay homes, removing all reference to God from the school systems, the twisting, the spinning of the original constitutional intent of our founding fathers. All these things are terrible. They can't see. They're spiritually blinded. They do not see the consequences of this on a nation like today, where we seem to have the mass shooting of the week. And what do? We move on. A Christian church in Texas had a guy who was mentally ill. He was Section 8 from the military, which that's a court-martial based on a mental disorder. He was in a mental hospital and escaped a while ago and apparently accessed a gun. And once he's been Section 8ed and deemed mentally incompetent, he's supposed to be prevented from owning a weapon. He purchased the weapon legally because apparently the American Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, is not communicating properly with the ATF and the FBI to prevent this stuff. He was declined for a concealed weapons permit, but he was not declined when he purchased a firearm. So there is definitely something wrong with that, isn't there? Every single time we've got one of these instances, we can look back, and they always want to do gun control. How many times do we look and say, well, if we had just imposed the existing laws, we wouldn't even be in this situation right now? He's a prime example. He goes and shoots up a church, kills 26 people, and as a reporter, I think, in Texas said, get this, this came out today. This reporter said the number of dead was inaccurate at 26. She said because one of the fatalities, if you will, was the unborn child of a woman who was killed. And she said that that should have been referred to as a fetus. So she said it should have said there were 25 killed and one fetus. You don't suppose she's pro-abortion, do you? I mean, can you even imagine that? And then they get into the debate about when does life begin and all this. Folks, when you're a parent and you get pregnant and you rejoice because that child is growing within you, that child is your child from the moment of inception, of conception, okay? From the inception of conception. That child is a human being, okay? It's not a fetus. It's not some, you know, something you find in the yolk of an egg. It is a human being. When it gets murdered, it's murdered. Now, people can be charged. If a guy drives drunk and he runs into a pregnant woman and kills her baby and she lives, or kills her unborn baby and she lives, he's still charged with murder in many states. The fact of the matter is, it's a child. Now, granted, 100 years ago, we didn't have the science, the MRIs, the x-rays, I get it. Maybe we didn't understand. Now, folks, if you understood the responsiveness of that child, it's terrifying to think of these abortion doctors that rush in to kill these children. I won't even go into the graphic details of what they do and how they do it, because it is absolutely hideous and heinous enough to, you know, really, it's very unsettling. It's bad. So, you know, the rise of secular humanism is definitely a problem. The fiat currency system, in so many ways, has hijacked this nation. It's taken us the wrong way, and it's absolutely running us down a rampant rail towards destruction. We're on the train to destruction. We really are. We do have, frankly, I'll put it this way, there is, without any doubt, 100% an economic collapse coming. Okay. I don't know when. I don't know exactly how it will look. We've got so many different options. There's so many things threatening us today. We've got immunizations. That's one that concerns me that I won't get into today, but they are essentially spreading disease at a rate you can't believe. There are, you know, but in general, if we just look at the economic side of collapse, we are facing it. When we have debt admitted by the government on, you know, usdebtclock.org at $1.8 million per U.S. citizen, okay, that's just your federal debt. That doesn't count your mortgage debt and your student loan debt and your credit card debt. It doesn't count any of that. We are done, okay? There, in as I said, God's system required precious metals-based assets and a lack of usury, okay? When we have a Federal Reserve that dictates the interest rates and creates the money, we have, they are in hand handling the two unbiblical methods of destroying our economy. And you look and say, okay, Kevin, fine. If that's true, then why have we not blown up and fallen apart? Well, let me tell you, in 100 years since the inception of the Federal Reserve, the United States dollar has lost 99.5% plus of its spending power. Prior to that, the 100 years prior to that, the U.S. dollar gained up 500% in spending power, okay? So basically, we've gone from what would cost you a dollar in 1800 costing you 20 cents in 1900 to what would cost you a dollar in 1913 costing you $200 today. So let me repeat that. What cost you a dollar in, well, let's do this. What cost you $5 in 1800 cost you a dollar in 1900. The dollar got stronger. That same dollar from 1900 now would require 200 of those to buy the same item. This is what has happened after we infused fiat currency. Then you look at the state of the nation before the Federal Reserve and after. What came after the Federal Reserve? The crash of 29. The Great Depression. World wars, unlike ever before, because we could strap citizens in debt. Nations used to hold and carry their own debt. If a nation lost a war, they were indebted. If a nation brought war upon another nation and lost, it was bad. Leadership was abolished, and the debts were recompensed. They had to pay restitution. They had to reconcile the issue. Not with fiat currency. We now have a system that requires us to hyperprint, hypercreate, hyperinflate the currency. It never stops. It just keeps growing faster and faster and faster all the time. So basically, there is no option other than economic collapse. So when I say that economic collapse is inevitable, I'm not saying I'm not dooming and glooming you. I'm just doing simple mathematics. We are at the hub of the world. We're the center. We have the most innovative, creative, hardworking, classy, you know, whatever people in the world. This nation is filled with the best. That's why immigrants flood here. That's why we need to put a price on the value of citizenship. Folks, I don't care what you have. If it's good, you need to take pride. What's really pathetic to me is when you find somebody who is fear-bound or cowardly and they are terrified of telling somebody the truth, they're terrified of standing their ground, what happens? I know of a family friend when I was much younger that had numerous things happen. People move into their home that they'd met this, you know, literally homeless people move in, eat their food, take their money, put other things like neighbors, put their horses on their land, you know, basically have these people feed their horses for years. You know, this is what happens when you don't stand up for yourself and say no. We are called by God to be bold, and we are called to be diplomats. I mean, it's, you don't have to be rude, but the, you know, to be assertive. Assertiveness is good. It's speaking the truth in love. Somebody else's response, if you do it properly with love and respect, that's the their response is their responsibility. Don't get me wrong. You can't be inappropriately and unnecessarily rude to somebody and mean, and when it really affects them emotionally, say, hey, that's their problem. We've got one thing I've talked about with my kids, and I've always done myself throughout life. I was very brash and brazen and bold, and still probably am. But each time I would say things, I would constantly think, how could I say that more diplomatically? How could I say that better? And we all need to do that to honor the spirit of God's word, and especially the book of Proverbs, which was written by the wisest, richest man that ever lived. We need to be diplomats. We need to be ambassadors. We need to be articulate. God gave us a phenomenal mind, and we've got to use that to impress, you know, to be his best representatives, just as we would anything else. If we do everything as under the Lord and we're representing Christ in all that we do, we want to represent him in a classy way. If you're just a bold, brash, brazen, obnoxious person, and you're going around hitting people between the eyes with Jesus, and you can't read the situation or read their responses, and you're giving untimely advice, or you're injecting yourself where it's very uncomfortable, or putting people in a bad spot, you're a fool. Because if that's your situation, you've probably already figured out that you don't have a real high salvation rate, okay? If you don't have a high salvation rate, in other words, leading people to Christ, and you're out spewing it all the time, maybe you need to spend a little more time becoming better at just connecting to the person. People don't know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? You've got to build that rapport with people whenever it comes to sales. No matter what the sales process is, the first step really is to build rapport. You've got to build rapport. People have to respect you. They've got to want to hear what you have to say. Otherwise, you're Proverbs 18:2. You're the fool who takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing your own opinion. You love it. You just love to spew it. And it gets you nowhere. We've got to be diplomats. We've got to be the best of the best. You go through history of the greatest accomplishments on this planet, and you will see the fingerprint of God all over it throughout history. Mind-boggling to me. Phenomenal. Okay? So I think you get my point. We've got to be ambassadors, okay? So let's talk quickly about some of the stuff that's going on economically. In this realm that we call life, we've got, that's kind of not the most recent, but anyway, so I'll do some checking here. It says, American households are up to debt so deep, that consumer credit hits a record $3.7 trillion. Okay. So, I mean, if it's absolutely, the numbers that people owe now are so unbelievably high, it is beyond imagination. It's about $50,000 per household, roughly, right now that people own in credit card debt. Everything is credit cards everywhere you go. So now we're at a position where we've got $3.7 trillion just in credit card debt in this nation. About $50,000 a home in credit card debt. That sound like a good thing to you? This is all what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. This is all part of this press towards socialism. Okay? When I was talking about Saul Alinsky and his how to create a socialist state in these, he says there are 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you're able to create a socialist state. The first is the most important, and he goes into health care. Obamacare, ram it down their throats. Don't care if they want it. Don't show it to them. Just ram it down their throats because this is the foundation of socialism and communism. If you hang the government's well-being, the government's financial well-being on the health and wellness of its citizenry, you will break the back of the government. And then you never, ever try to control the cost of health care. Don't come up with real solutions. Just say, sure, we'll pick up the tab, when in reality, the government is the people. And the government says, we'll pick up the tab. And they say, oh, by the way, all these people never had insurance and they can't afford it, so we'll pick up that tab too. Oh, by the way, as we insure every single American, including all these people who are fiscally irresponsible now because they want to use the emergency room as their urgent care center, and it costs us a minimum of $1,800 a visit plus testing, and we'll just hang that on the back of the actual productive citizens. The biggest problem is they've got a system designed where they punish the productive. The productive are their slaves. They want to make a, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say I'm one of the productive, okay? I believe I am. I pay a pretty healthy amount of taxes. I work crazy hours. I work really hard, you know, and I've been blessed with the American dream, in my opinion. But I believe I'm productive. I pay a crazy amount of taxes. And then we come up with like the Trump tax plan and they say, we can't change that. We can't cut back. No, we need all those taxes. We've got to have them. Okay, folks, no thanks. I mean, we've got a problem that is running so rampant, it's unbearable. But remember, Saul Alinsky said, number one, healthcare. Two, poverty. Okay, he says, increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. But the number three, and I should have done these in opposite order, debt. Increase the debt to unsustainable levels. That way you're able to increase taxes, which will produce more poverty. So, increase the debt of the government to absolutely unsustainable levels. $1.8 million per family. Or no, I'm sorry, for every man, woman, and child. $1.8 million for every man, woman, and child in America. That would be unsustainable, would it not? And then we add on top of it all this other debt. Private debt, consumer debt, corporate debt, mortgage debt. You get the point, right? This is all part of the plan. This is the point I'm trying to make. Fiat currency is not just a random concept that popped up out of nowhere. Our economic system was designed by John Maynard Keynes, Keynesian economics, as, quote from him, the necessary ingredient for Marxism to prevail. Okay? He made the system for Marxism to prevail. So the never-ending confiscation of your wealth through inflation, as he says, secretly and unobserved without your knowing it, is part of the plan. This is what I want you to understand. It's the most important thing that's happened to this nation. It is the catalyst for all other things. We could have never funded a World War I or a World War II without this thing. And then they lie and say we need taxes. No, they print every dollar we spend and they strap it on your back as debt. The taxes just give them more money to spend. The reason they tax is to redistribute wealth in order to basically create this constituency of poverty, this homeless constituency. And, oh, boy, make sure they vote. Let's get socialism elected into office. I am baffled. Yesterday, there was a governor's race in Virginia. A Democrat won, and they make a big deal out of it. Oh, it's a referendum against Trump. Whenever these elections take place and a Republican wins, they say it has no meaning. If a Democrat wins, it's a referendum against Trump. But why did I go there? Because what I'm saying here is I was talking about we need to get all this poverty and all this socialistic mindset so these people will vote that way. Well, here, you know, the election in Virginia was close. And here's one thing I cannot figure out. Somebody like Trump runs and people go wild. They come out of the woodwork to vote him into office with incredible enthusiasm. They absolutely blow the doors off of all the surveys and all the polls. None of the statistics proved to be correct. Trump beat all odds. I believe that's biblical because his name's Trump. Final overriding factor, a resource. And you know what the Trump is in the Bible, the last warning, last call. So he beats. Then you get a guy like this in office, and then you have these other races. And why is it now all the people that voted for Trump, it's a midterm election where Trump's not involved. And so all the conservatives stay home and all the lefties come out, and then they start to get Democrats in office. And it's almost as if we crave that two-party tension because they never let the momentum build. And the media has been hacking and chopping away at Trump at a pace, at a rate, at a level I can't even believe. Trump is a very controversial figure, but he's still the president of the United States. And this complete lack of respect, this complete dehumanization for a man who got to where he is by being a pretty brilliant guy is wrong. It's wrong. And that you get the left thinking this guy is everything under the sun, you know, related to evil. You go back to Obama being in office. They lost over 1,000 seats from municipalities to county to state to federal, all the way up. They lost over 1,000 major seats because of Obama's divisiveness. But the Democrats voted for him. Folks, think about this. They say Donald Trump has the lowest approval rating of any president in modern history, right? Well, here's the thing. People know he's good at what he does. They know he's the right guy. You don't have to like the guy. I don't actually like the guy. I mean, I like who, you know, what he does and where he's at and who he is and what he stands for. But I'm not crazy about his behavior. If you ask me the right question, I might say, no, I don't like the guy. And then all of a sudden I'd be in the polls, you know, as being a disapproval. But that's not the point. The point is, you can have a boss that you despise, but he might be a really good boss, or he might be good at that position. You know, remember, good leaders' jobs is not to befriend everybody and, you know, and let everybody off early every day to go have a barbecue or, you know, or a balloon party. That's not what they're all about. So disapproval does not necessarily relate to lack of confidence. So anyway, where I was going, we've got the debt. $50,000 in credit card per household. 1.8 million per individual. That's government debt. We've got an agenda, Cloward and Piven strategy. Get the back of the government overburdened by health care. I've talked to lefties. I know some of them. I believe they're very foolish in most cases. There isn't change in a lot of minds. So you got to fight for what's right. The only way you can fight is to vote. So for goodness sake, get your tail out there. Not only do you need to vote, you need to get others to vote. It's important. It's very important. It's very important to understand our Keynesian economic system. I will also explain 1/3 of young adults are now living at home with their parents. Okay, think about that. And what do I mean by young adults? I mean kids under the age of 28 years old. You know what? I just ran into another statistic. How about 25 to 34 years old? Under Reagan, there was 8% of kids between the ages of 25 and 34 living at home with their parents. Under Clinton, it rose all the way up because we had a lefty in there, right? It rose all the way up to 12%. Under Bush, it crashed all the way back down to about 9%. Under Obama, it shot up to 16%. Reagan was under 8, Obama under above 16%. Trump is starting to see the Republican decline. Folks, when Republicans run the nation, good things happen. I cannot believe that more than 1/3 of young adults live at home. Percentage of 18 to 34 year olds. Now, if you add in 18, not just 25 to 34, 18 to 34 year olds, 1/3. Now, here's what's interesting. The closer you get to metropolitan areas, no shock, the higher the percentage now. Okay. Now, back in 05, there was a couple general areas, the north, northeastern tip of the U.S. and then down around Louisiana and Arkansas and things like there was a couple states down there that had it. Now, you would not believe this chart. All the way from the northeast tip of the United States, all the way around the entire southern border, I'm talking all the way, you know, Pennsylvania, Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, you know, Florida, all the way, Louisiana, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, California. All these states have nearly 40% of young adults 18 to 34 still living with their parents, okay? What do all those states have in common? The majority of them have big metropolitan areas. It's just what's going on. I won't read a bunch of other statistics. Rents are way up. Cost of building is way up. We're in another bubble on real estate. People are moving their money out of the stock market again. They're putting it into real estate. That is when you get out. Folks, I will tell you, the industry that we're in is the place you want to be right now. When people are moving out, you want to be moving in. Metals are staying rock solid. They're tough. They're just tough. You know, well, we're supposedly getting record high after record high after record high. You just go back and obey God's word. Now, when you get frustrated and you say, and we talk about what's happened to our financial situation in this nation, economic, you know, injustice, whatever you want to call it, you can still implement that same concept into your own life, okay? If you develop your own gold and silver standard, you're doing exactly what our founders knew was right. You will preserve. It will last. I understand the pressures. Folks, there are brokers everywhere pushing people. I explained a couple weeks or so ago, maybe a week ago, where I had to confront a supposed brother in Christ who has devastated a widow's finances, a very good friend of mine whose wife died. He's, you know, he's lost 30% of her money for her. And he's dumped every guilt trip and blamed her. And when she wants to cash out, oh, don't cash out now. You'll realize the loss and all this stuff. And then she's good friends with me. He has to undermine me. All these dirty, dirty tricks, okay? And this guy is the most soft-spoken, gentle Christian man. And it's like God knows your heart, buddy. God knows our hearts, okay? We can become the ultimate schmoozers, but God knows our hearts. And that is what matters. That's what he judges us. He, you know, we've all got our excuses and our reasons and our justifications, but the Bible's very clear that God knows our hearts. So be wise. Don't fall for this stuff, folks. I don't care. Like I was saying, the whole world, you know, the entire financial establishment is against God's word. Even believers are trapped in it. I mean, you think about it. God made a simple system that works. God created an element that he says he's having in. I mean, folks, he's building a place called heaven. I don't even know if you can comprehend this. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles tall. Not 1,500 feet, not 15,000 feet, not 1,500 meters, not 1,500 cubits, not 1,500 yards. 1,500 miles, okay? The width of heaven is probably about two-thirds the width of the United States. The length of heaven is the same. You could go to the southern tip of America and go 1,500 miles north and you're going to end up in Canada. That is the length. The height is higher than anything related to Earth. I mean, there's things in orbit 340 miles above the Earth. This would blow five times past that. Heaven would set on the Earth, the top of heaven would be so far into deep space. There would be no atmosphere, no oxygen, nothing. It's that big. It's that big, and it's good enough for God to say that he's decking the whole place out in gold everywhere, loaded everywhere. Where is he getting the gold? I don't know. I have a pretty good idea. He's probably got angels picking it up from one of his trillions and trillions of planets out there. I really believe things are physical. I believe that when the Bible says, when Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you, I actually believe that he's going to prepare a place. I don't think it's a bunch of figurative speech. I don't think heaven's a big misty, ooey, gooey place. I know that God says it's a physical place and it's real. It's full of heaven, or full of heaven, full of gold. God gave us gold and silver on this earth. Now, remember, when I say gold, I really mean the entire sector or arena of what we deal in. People say, oh, you just buy and sell gold and silver. No, not at all. When we do portfolios, I do wonderful mixtures of stuff. I know the market very well. I've dealt with over $1 billion coming and going. I've dealt with some of the finest coins in the world, all the way down to just, you know, generic junk by the bag. I know what works. I know what doesn't. I have a really good gut on the market. We know when there's value. We hand select items for our people that you can't get elsewhere for the simple fact that they're far too scarce for any of the telephone solicitors to offer them. They can't do it. They cannot sell a product that they can't get in mass. If you deal with Gold Lines and Roslyn Capitals and Merit Financials and, you know, and a lot of these other garbage companies that show up on TV, they're boiler rooms selling you stuff in bulk. By the way, I don't know if you see all these ads about, you know, the perfect MS-70, you know, certified gold eagles, perfect and this and that. Don't buy that stuff. A gold eagle's a bullion coin, period. It's supposed to be perfect. When it leaves the mint, it is designed and struck by a computer. They are perfect. They're all perfect, or the vast majority of them are perfect. You don't pay extra for that. That is money lost down the toilet. Money put in the hands, pockets of the company selling them. Don't buy into the 70, MS-70 and Proof 70 stuff. Don't do it. Don't touch state quarters. Don't touch anything that isn't a true antique, vintage, rare coin, collectible coin. If you're into coins or a key date, modern era key date, which we can help you find. We build wonderful portfolios, everything from survival barter material to trading, good trading stock, good stores of wealth with your neighbor, all the way up to long-term to what we call stair-step growth coins that go up and flat and up and flat, but they don't go down, all the way to numismatic stuff that's really scarce and hard to find. Things that are in such demand because people never stop building basic sets of items. And there are certain coins called key dates that are always in demand. We, depending on the coin, we'll have them by the roll. These are good things. These are things that perform tremendously over time. We build a great portfolio. If you come in to buy, please just say, I want you or Kevin to build me a portfolio, and we will do so. It may take some time, not because we don't have material, because we have too much material. And a lot of times I need time to organize it because I've got 20 years of my own stuff stored up. And I've hand-selected it for our investors as the best of the best. And I can, my own personal testimony, I've had tremendous success as an investor. I believe I can do the same for you. I've been doing it for people for 20 years. But if you just buy straight into the intrinsic value of bullion, you're just going to ride the market up, down, and sideways. And it's, you know, it's good. It's still a preservation of wealth brick by brick, but you do need to have a little bit of balance. That's what's important, I think. Veterans Day, I won't be here Friday, folks, and I just want to plug real quick. We have had millions of veterans die over the years. I can't remember. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but this country's freedom has been paid for with blood. Respect and honor your veterans. Kneeling before the anthem is the greatest blasphemy. You know, there's 24/7 hours in a week, you know, 365 days a year, and they say it's not about the anthem, and yet they choose the 2 minutes of the anthem to kneel. Baloney, okay? There are so many veterans that need your help, and they need to be appreciated, and there's just a ton of them, okay? They make up 12% of our homeless population. 10% of the 10 million veterans are over 65. 70% of our homeless veterans suffer from substance abuse, all kinds of mental health issues. They need your help. They've paid the price. They deserve it. Give us a call, 444-0044. Take care. God bless. Sorry, I'm out of time. Bye-bye.